Thing. So I'm so happy to be back this week and happy hour. And I listened to one of Nikki's beautiful offerings this week on equanimity, and it tied in nicely to something that has been on my mind as well, which is a little bit of a different orientation to equanimity. It's the wisdom and equanimity that are already present within metta itself. And I guess another way of putting it is that letting go and letting be are acts of love in of themselves. And those are the aspects of love, of metta, Buddhist love, that kind of cross over into wisdom and equanimity. So I'll just start with the basics for a minute or two here. The underlying impulse of loving kindness, benevolence, metta, and the underlying impulse of sila or ethical conduct are expressions of one another in many ways. And what I mean by that is that they share the same prime directive. The prime directive of non-harming. That's the underlying impulse in the kindness. It's the underlying impulse in ethical conduct. Now, sila, ethical conduct, can be about restraint. It can also come directly from this motivation of love and non-grasping. Kind of natural expression of love and non-grasping. And in fact, sila, while on one hand it's considered ethical conduct is the basis for a lot of the sort of other practices along the Buddhist path, it's also an expression, according to the ancient texts, of full awakening. A fully awakened being cannot help but be non-harming. It's just how they roll. And there's a wisdom in not bringing harm to oneself or to others. In fact, that is one of the definitions of a good and wise person in the ancient teachings, is someone who does not bring affliction to themselves or to others or to both parties. Equanimity is also, as many of you know from having come to happy hour, woven right through the warp and weft of metta itself. It's what differentiates metta from a kind of craving affection. Affection that wants something, needs something, is grasping at something. So it's that thread, that river of metta that runs. River of equanimity that runs through metta that makes it immeasurable, makes it unattached, helps it to be an aspect of wisdom. It's a big love that lets go of grasping or clinging or compulsion or craving, lets go of sense desires, even sometimes, and it definitely lets go of agendas. When that's not possible, that level of letting go I'm talking about, and we are all human, so sometimes it's just not possible. There's also letting be, not getting entangled with what arises within this body, heart, and mind, and not getting entangled with even the complexities that arise in relationship with another, but letting it be simple. Letting it be what it is, letting them be who they are. And that letting be does not mean being a doormat. When action is called for in one's own mind, in heart, in relationship, in society, then there's engaging with the intent of non-harming, of good. For all parties, and with a non-attachment to outcome. That too is part of metta. non-attachment. And then the last point I'll make is that metta, some of us experience it as a kind of a loving presence or loving attention, sacred presence even. One characteristic that in my own experience makes that loving presence sacred is the absence of clinging, and at the deepest levels, the absence of preferences at all. The absence of clinging. Settled backness. That settled back quality is an aspect of both wisdom and equanimity. It's reflected. It's built right in to the metta for the different categories, the loving kindness for different categories that many of you have sat with over weeks and months. This whole idea that we eventually manage to develop an unattached loving kindness that has the same quality of benevolence towards a dear friend as it does towards someone we find difficult. That there is an absence of preference there, an absence of ranking there. That's one thing that makes metta immeasurable. And another thing that makes metta immeasurable is allowing loving kindness to pervade boundlessly, rippling out in perhaps concentric, ever-growing rings. To do this, of course, it helps to attend to ourselves first. It helps to fill up our own vessel before sharing, spreading, watering the seeds of others and other possibilities. And a key condition for that in my own experience is to really tune in, key in to the gratitude, appreciation, contentment of what's already going right or what already supports this life, this heart, this mind, this body. Remember years ago coming back from a quite extended trip to Asia, most of which was in India, and it took me a whole 6 months to get over the joy and gratitude at turning a tap and having water come out of that tap that wasn't going to kill me. It was like a miracle. Right? So many things support us that we take for granted. The roads, the garbage collection, the clean water, the very air we breathe. To find a sense of gratitude and appreciation for those things. Not denying the reality of anything else, but to allow that in too. So those are my initial reflections. And with that, invite us to start meditating. So please find a posture that is comfortable, easeful, supportive for you. And settling in. Perhaps starting with one or two, three deep breaths, or shallow breaths if that's what the body has. Inviting the body, inviting your body to breathe, sip in the nourishment of the air. And then gently to let go, release any tensions, any distractions, any strivings, any expectations. But allowing the breath to naturally deepen just a little bit for another breath or two. Before inviting the breath to return to normal. Taking a moment to scan through your body, feeling the vibrancy, the aliveness. Perhaps feeling skin against air, against cloth. Feeling the weight of your feet against the floor or cushion. And taking a moment to appreciate being supported, grounded in the boundless strength of the earth. And noticing your back, perhaps against the back of a chair, or straight and strong, rising above the hips. Either way, allowing the spine to be a column of support. Feeling the safety behind you, around you, that allows the muscles to relax around the spine. Allowing the hands to be known from the inside out. Feeling into the pulsing and tingling, warmth or cool. Allowing them to relax. Letting go of any extra tension held from the day. Allowing the face, especially the forehead and the brow, the jaw, to soften. Letting go of anything held there. Allowing the eyes and the tongue to soften. And then allowing the attention gently, kindly, lovingly to rest upon the breath or any other anchor you choose. Allowing each in-breath and out-breath to connect you to this amazing body. Despite any flaws or imperfections, this body is a lifelong companion. Support. medium of life itself. Attuning to the sensations of your life's breath in and out. Appreciating the nourishment of air moving in. Allowing the out-breath, releasing. Perhaps cultivating a sense of gratitude for the very presence of the breath itself. If the mind wanders away, a train of thought, allowing this too to be, allowing letting be the motions of the mind, and gently inviting thinking to fade to the periphery, fade to the background. Allowing this body, this breath, the vibrancy of aliveness to fill more and more of this moment. Tuning into the subtle differences in the in-breath and out-breath. Becoming intimate with the sensations of the gift of each breath. Appreciating all of the subtle differences. Each breath arises. And as let go fades away from the out-breath. Feels right, continuing to cultivate a sense of appreciation with each in-breath and radiating out a sense of kindness, benevolence, perhaps appreciation and gratitude. Noticing those feelings, sensations, whatever is really there in the center of your chest. As the flow of air moves in and out. The tuning with the breath, the body, the sensations in the chest. Perhaps dropping like a drop of water, an intention of kindness downward into the rest of the body, allowing it to ripple out through every muscle, bone, organ, through every cell, drop the intention every now and then, perhaps with the out-breath, if that feels natural, allowing it to ripple, gentle, easy. As the sensations, intentions of kindness, well-wishing, appreciation, perhaps gratitude, ripple throughout your body. If it's helpful, you can focus these intentions. If you have phrases you like, you can use them. Or perhaps, as I do, use a single word like this. Safe. Happy. healthy. Easeful. Peaceful. Free. Either in silence, allowing these ripples generated from the heart center, from the breath, to fill the whole body, whole heart, whole mind, or using the words, your own words, to focus them. And now and then on the in-breath, just receiving exactly what is. Allowing that. Letting be. Allowing these intentions of kindness, love, beneficence to pervade all of the body, heart, and mind, rippling through, meeting exactly what is. No need for conflict. Letting be. Softening. Allowing. Noticing the sensations in the center of your chest. Noticing the attitude of awareness and allowing settled back. Nothing needs to happen. Dropping water, little drops of water of intentions as beneficial conditions. And if it feels right, stay with this or accept the invitation to allow the ripples of metta, kind intentions, goodwill, to ripple out a little bit beyond this heart and mind. Beyond this body, to those near or those dear. Those for whom it's easy, and perhaps any other beings who happen to be in the area. Be safe. Be happy. Be healthy. Be easeful. Be peaceful. Be free. Allowing awareness, the intentions of metta, to include another concentric ring in the ripples. To those a little further away, perhaps further away geographically, on the margins of our lives. Appreciating for good intentions. Letting others be as they are. Offering goodwill, caring kindness, freely releasing from the body, the heart, the mind, the way a ripple releases from a droplet of water in a still forest pond. And then allowing, inviting the sense of goodwill, of metta, to ripple out even further to those far away. Far from our hearts or far from our bodies. Allowing all of ourselves to kindness to whatever is arising. You safe, happy, healthy, be easeful, peaceful, free. And then allowing whatever intentions of goodwill, metta, letting be, to pervade through all of your mind and heart. Allowing those wishes to extend to all beings. Tall or short, big or small, seen or unseen, dancing, still, walking, hopping, flying or gliding, slithering or swimming, burrowing, or just being. in the last moment of this meditation, letting go of any directed intentions and just turning an appreciative, kind gaze to the person in your seat, this body, heart, and mind. Perhaps making the determination to find whatever goodness, spaciousness, presence, even patience that arose in this practice to be for the benefit of others in our lives. Thank you for your kind attention, everyone. I have allowed you to chat or unmute yourselves if you wish. And just want to invite any questions, comments, complaints, insights, anything that feels right to say. You can say it aloud, you can put it in the chat to all of us, or you can send it to me anonymously, and I will share it anonymously with the group. So Neil, thank you. That was lovely, relaxing, tender. Susan, thank you for the compliments. To hear more of my talks, you can go to audiodharma.org. I also have some talks on Marin Sangha's site and some on San Francisco Insight's site and one or two on Insight Meditation South Bay. So they're kind of scattered hither thither these days, but it can be found. Live, only over Zoom at the moment, I'm afraid. So I just encourage you to probably check IMC's site. That's most likely the place I'll be speaking next, is my guess. And Jerry writes, calming and it helped center me. Wonderful. So I want to take just a few moments to invite those of you who are willing and interested to join short breakout rooms. I know many people drop off at this point, but as you've heard me say before, and probably heard Nikki say before too, this is a really beautiful part of happy hour. It's practicing in community, and it also helps increase a sense of social connection as well as increase the metta. So encourage that you stay, encourage that you talk to your sangha mates, and hopefully, Neil, you will also add something about the sangha group list when you get back, or maybe no. As far as a prompt goes, you can just share how this was for you. Or if you prefer, you can talk about what you've noticed for yourself about the link or links between your own wisdom or capacity for equanimity and this practice, or even just the practice of being kind in general. So we'll only be there for 5 minutes today, and I will see you all on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. So please, anyone who wants to, is moved to, I would love to hear reflections, comments about how that was for you, questions about the teaching. How was it to talk to each other?
Hi. So we were talking about giving metta to what I'll loosely call evil people. I recognize your laugh, Michael. So, you know, leader of North Korea and Hitler came into the conversation.
Right.
So, right. I'm sure you've thought about this quite a bit. I'm wondering if you could, you know, share some thoughts with us.
Yes, I'd be happy to. And I'm also interested in what thoughts came up for you all. So I'll just say that for myself, part of the synonymity between metta and non-harming is not just being safe from harm, but it is being safe from non-harming. So for me, when I am in the place of being able to send metta to people that we would characterize as evil, and I don't argue with that characterization with the individuals that you mentioned, the wish is for them to know the true happiness, the bliss of blamefulness, of non-harming. And that's for me how I'm able to enter into that. May they be free from suffering and its causes, including the condition of causing harm. So that's one thought. What came up for you in the conversation?
So, right. So I think of this as the Hitler dilemma. The person I was meeting with was the one who mentioned North Korea. Right. I think, you know, right. And I, what I've thought about is, would I, if I had an opportunity to go back in time and the one intervention I could do would be to kill Hitler, you know, I don't know, as a baby or something like that, you know, would I do that? And, you know, I find, you know, I mean, ignoring like the physics, right? I find the answer is, of course I would do it, right? There seems like, if that's the only thing I could do, right, that of course seems like the right thing, you know, to reduce suffering, you know, at least it seems likely it would reduce suffering. But I would hope I could do it out of a sense for helping the world and not out of a sense of anger or vengeance.
Yes. So you're speaking truly. And I mean, a lot of people, I think, have done that thought experiment, right? So there is actually, not in the canon, but in the Jataka tales, there's the story of the Buddha in one of his past lives who does kill someone in order to save not just the many people that that person is about to harm, but also to save that person from taking on the karma of committing such a great evil act. So just to say that there is kind of room, at least in the mythology of Buddhism, for that. Another thing that comes up for me hearing you, Neil, is Is it possible to go back in time and heal whatever it was that drove him to commit those acts before he became desperate and, for all practical purposes, we can call it evil or psychotic or whatever, but right, is it possible for a different kind of intervention to happen? So just the shifting of conditions is what we're trying to do, right? And so those are, it's a profound question, and I'm sorry we're at the top of the hour and we can't unpack it more. Does that give you something to sort of sit with and consider?
Gives me a lot to sit with. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for your presence, for your practice. May all beings everywhere without exception be free from harm and causing harm. May all beings be happy, safe, peaceful, and free of suffering and the causes of suffering. Thank you.